The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. We're going to speak about the struggle against the self, or Jihadun Nafs. So I invite you to be with today's special.
I felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you. And now that we're here, feeling so good.
Today, Wednesday, is the 29th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, we find chapter an Am, and we listen to verse 12.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض قل لله كتب على نفسه الرحمة ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون.
Say, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth? Say, to Allah. He has decreed upon himself mercy. He will surely assemble you for the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt. Those who will lose themselves that day do not believe.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The mercy of Allah is abundant. Salman has narrated a tradition from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, who said, "The mercy of Allah is 100 degrees, one of which is the origin of all graces of Allah in this world. On the day of judgment, Allah will deal with people by the whole 100 degrees of His mercy." This fact should be noted that the great loss of the disbelievers lies in this, that instead of reasoning, they go after their delusions. Instead of taking the godly sayings, they seek for false deities. And instead of faith and observing the hereafter, they disbelieve and submit to hellfire.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay. But we'll never know, 'cause that's not the way it works. Help me find my way.
What is the struggle against the self? Struggle against the self is the most crucial warfare, which ultimately determines our destiny. A warfare upon which depends our how to live in this world and the hereafter. If we do not dominate the self through a struggle and take over the ruling authority in our own hands, he will take over the control of our positions by pulling us in every direction at his will. If we fail to make him our prisoner, he will certainly take us into his imprisonment as his slaves. If we could not succeed in inciting him for doing good moral virtuous deeds, he will force us to indulge into most shameful evil deeds. Therefore, the struggle against the self is one of the most important and difficult duty which has been assigned upon the shoulders of the human being. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about jihad against our carnal desires. Tafakkur or speculation or intellection makes people aware of what they do and what they are supposed to do. Those people who always think about the necessity and the religiosity and permissibility of the jobs that they want to do, and they only consider the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the comfort of people, they will be certainly very much lucky and very much fortunate, both in this world and in the world hereafter. Regarding intellection and speculation, there's a piece of short saying from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first infallible Imam Ali alayhi salam, in that he clarified it in this way: لا علمك التفكر ولا عبادتك التفكر. There's no knowledge like speculation, and there's no ritual, ritual deed like speculation. Of course, speculation in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not speculation or intellection in order how to commit a sin or how to cheat other people. And elsewhere, the first infallible Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated it in this way: التفكر يدعو إلى البر والعمل. Speculation and intellection leads people to being good and beneficial to other people, and practicing this being good to other people, both in words and in deeds.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness, everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist.
You are the light
that guides me through my darkest nights. It shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Piety, objective behind the divine commands. In Islam, the piety has been introduced as a genuine moral virtue and the real aim for explanation of divine commandments. God Almighty said in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 21, O mankind, worship your Lord who hath created you and those before you, so that you may ward off evil. Therefore, it could be seen that the aim behind explaining some of these commandments or worship is actually to encourage people to acquire piety by performing those particular acts of worships. Piety in Islam has been attached so much importance that it had been introduced as the sole criteria for the acceptance of other deeds, so much so that the deed without piety shall be worthless and will not be accepted.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me, I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around, I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment I spent with you, cause I know life won't last forever.
The steps of a struggle against the self, that's the title of this part. Guarding against evil. It's one step. A person struggling against his own self should constantly concentrate upon his intentions. If any time the idea of violating divine commands occurs to him, he should know that this idea has been instilled into his mind by Satan and his allies, who want to deter him from his good resolution. He ought to curse them, seek God's compassionate protection, and banish those evil ideas from the realm of his heart. He should rely to Satan that this day also he has to abide by the condition imposed upon his own self that he will not go against God's commands. Thus, with the help of Allah, Satan will be driven away.
Some hadith say, always be suspicious of your nafs. Don't say that I have a good nafs, that I'm a good person, and my end result is in a good place. A mu'min should always be suspicious of his nafs. Should always say, no, I shouldn't let my nafs act the way it wants, but the way my mind wants. In a very famous hadith that I'm sure most of you have heard, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a group of companions coming back from Ghazwat Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk, he said his very famous hadith, لَقَدْ رَجَعْتُمْ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. You have come from the lesser jihad, and now prepare yourselves for the greater jihad. He was asked, what is that greater jihad? And he said, jihad al-nafs. Imam Ali would say, وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ نَفْسِي أَرُوضُهَا بِالتَّقْوَى. It is my nafs that I mix it with piety. This is Imam Ali, who lived a life of piety. A man who was born in a masjid and died, who was born in the house of Allah, died in the house of Allah, and served a whole life serving Allah. Yet he says, I need to mix my soul and nafs with piety.
I think this topic we talked about is so interesting. There was the struggle against the self or jihad or nafs. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special. Till then, tomorrow, have a nice time. Fi amanallah.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and we now present you a brilliant description of the Holy Quran by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The last and most comprehensive heavenly scripture that God Almighty revealed to her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, for the guidance of mankind. A covenant he brought unto you, and an heir he left to guard you. That is the eloquent book of Allah, the truthful Quran, the brilliant light, the shining beam. Its insights are indisputable. Its secrets are revealed. Its indications are manifest, and its followers are blessed by it.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the VIRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There is a very profound, beautiful tradition that I once came across, and it is worthy of me of sharing this with you, my dear brothers and sisters. When I read this tradition personally, a lot of changes occurred in my worldview, in my thought. And we see that Islam, especially the Imams, are so merciful, are so inclusive, that they are not just willing to throw people into the fire of hell. Rather, they wish to save everybody, and everybody who they can save, they want to save. Their duty and their responsibility was to save people, to guide people, to bring people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will feel hurt, and they will feel that they did not do their responsibility well enough if they see that people are being flung into the fire of hell. This tradition of Imam Ali alayhi salam is something that is worthy of reflection, worthy of note. And we'll mention it, and you know, brothers and sisters can ponder upon it. It's a very beautiful tradition. The Imam is reported to have said that paradise has 8 doors. A door through which the prophets and the truthful ones will enter. There's a specific door for a specific group of people, that this door is only for them. A door through which the martyrs and the righteous will enter. There's another door. So now we have 2 doors already allocated. 5 doors now, the Imam says. Sometimes this makes it 7. 5 doors through which our Shia and our lovers will enter. And the Imam continues and says that I will stand on the sirat, on that path, and to ensure that all of my Shia are taken through one of these 5 doors. And then the Imams, alayhi salam, look at the beauty of these words here. This is something that we all should ponder upon, my dear brothers and sisters. This is something that we should teach. This is something that we should, you know, inculcate, and rather let these words of the Imam penetrate our hearts, to show the mercy and the inclusiveness of Islam and the Imam alayhi salam. And the Imams rather, not only the Imams alayhi salam. Then Imam says the last door, the 8th door, is a door through which the rest of the Muslims will enter. That is those that bear witness to La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a condition, the Imam says, and those who do not bear an atom's weight of hatred and enmity towards us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The hadith does not say that this door is for those who are Shia. The Shias have their five doors. This is for those Muslims who do not hate the Ahlul Bayt. The hadith doesn't say, it does not say love the Ahlul Bayt, and they do not hate the Ahlul Bayt. Most likely those who do not hate and love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who entered through the first two doors, inshaAllah. To be of the righteous, to be of the truthful, inshaAllah. And not to be of those who are pulled out of the fire by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even though that is something beneficial, but it's not something that will be of, you know, honor for the Imam, alayhi salam. InshaAllah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program, Hadith of the Day, on RIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The audience, stay tuned. Shelby Shamel, 1853 to 1917, who is a special student of Darwin, has said, Prophet of Islam took attentions of human being wisdom towards him by Quran eloquence. Dear audience, now we invite you to listen to the recitation of verse 26 to 32 of Surah Az-Zukhruf, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And when Abraham said to his father and his people, Verily I am innocent of what you worship. Accept him who created me, and verily he will guide me. And he made it a word lasting among his offspring, that they may turn back. Nay, but I gave to these and their fathers to enjoy till there came to them the truth and a messenger making things clear. And when the truth came to them, they said, This is magic, and we disbelieve therein. And they say, Why isn't this Quran sent down to some great man of the two towns? Is it they who would portion out the mercy of your Lord? It is we who portion out between them their livelihood in this world, and we raised some of them above others in ranks, so that some may employ others in their work. But the mercy of your Lord is better than that which they amass.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين ولما جاء وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 26 to 32, by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the tajweed rules. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ قَالَ. In the word قَالَ, we have a letter with استِعْلَاء, with a characteristic of استِعْلَاء, meaning we have to pronounce it with تَفْخِيم. قَالَ, we open the mouth vertically when pronouncing the قَاف. Ibrahim. The ra in Ibrahim is also pronounced with tafkhim because it has aliful mad. Of course, the aliful mad is not written, but you will see that there is a small alif written next to the ra above it. Above the ra, you'll see that there is a small alif, which is called alif maqsura, or small alif. Ibrahim li'abihi wa qawmihi, again the qaf has tafkheem. Wa qawmihi innani bara'un mimma ta'budun. In the word bara'un, we have madul muttasil. Mad wajibul muttasil. It is necessary that we lengthen this mad to at least 4 vowel counts, and at most 5 vowel counts. Bara'un. Why is that? Because there is a hamza after this long vowel, and hamza, whenever it comes after a long vowel, it causes mad. If the hamza is in the same word as the mad, as the long vowel, then matul muttasil takes place. If it's in a different word, matul munfasil takes place, such as in waqawmihi innani. It's ja'izul munfasil. It's a optional mad. Okay, so it's not mandatory to lengthen matul munfasil to 4 vowel counts or 5 vowel counts, but you are allowed to do that. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ فَإِنَّهُ. We have إِشْبَاعَ of هَاءُ الضَّمِيرِ, and the word فَإِنَّهُ, the ha has to be pronounced like a long vowel because it's preceded by a letter with a haraka, with a short vowel. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. What's going on here? We have إِقْلَاب of Nun Sakana here, which means that the Nun Sakana is pronounced like a mim that is pronounced with إِخْفَاء. So first, the Nun is mim, and then the mim is a mim with إِخْفَاء. إِخْفَاء of mim means that you don't close the mouth completely. You leave it a little bit open. And كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً, you allow some of the sound to come from the mouth as well, and then you make a nasal sound for 2 vowel counts. And we're out of time. Unfortunately, we don't have time to continue discussing the next verses, so that's it for today's program.
كِتَابُ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There was a companion of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم whose name was Lubayd. Now this individual, alhamdulillah, lived a very fruitful life. It is mentioned in some traditions and in some books of history and in some books of biographies. This individual lived to about 157 years or 145 years. For 90 years of his life, he was a mushrik, he was not a Muslim. But for the rest of his life, from about 90 onwards, he became a Muslim and became a staunch supporter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also mentioned that he was a poet, and a very powerful poet, a poet who was known amongst the Arabs and amongst those in Mecca. And it is mentioned that, you know, he was asked to recite poetry many times after he became Islam, and he refused to do it. And the reason for that is because he himself understood that why should I recite poetry when the Quran is amongst us? And he himself mentions, and we will mention two stories from this individual. It's possible that these two stories are one story that kind of got separated or kind of got confused, but in the books they are seemed like two different stories. But it has come with the same result. So it could be said that they are the same story. So on the first one that we will mention here is that this individual was asked to recite some poetry. And he replies, and the person who asked him was the second khalif. He says, why don't you recite some poetry? Because only the second khalif knew him. And he says, recite some poetry for us. And he says this very beautiful sentence. He says that, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me Surah Baqarah, that Allah now has brought down and revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Surah Baqarah, the second surah of the Holy Quran, I
feel that I shouldn't, there is no need for me anymore to recite poetry. Oh, he says that I will never ever recite poetry after this. There's no need for me to recite anything. Why? Because Surah Baqarah is there. The Holy Quran is there. What is my poetry compared to this? We come to the second story that I mentioned previously. The story goes as such, that the second Khalif writes a letter to Mughira. Now Mughira, obviously, according to the tradition, may have been in Kufa, may have been the governor of Kufa at that time. So he writes to his governor, Mughira, in Kufa, and tells him that, "Oh Mughira, ask the poets of the city to send their poetry that they have either, you know, recited or compiled, that they have compiled or after they accepted Islam." So basically, you know, not those poets that they have either recited or compiled while in the age of ignorance or in Jahiliyyah, no. Those poets and those poems which they have compiled and recited after they ever accepted Islam. And then the news reaches Lubayd. And the request from Lubayd, "Oh Lubayd, why don't you also recite a poem?" So Lubayd then asks, it says, "A poem from the time of ignorance or from the time of after Islam?" He says, no, from the time of Islam onwards. So he says to them that, "Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced the poetry with this." What was this? It is mentioned in the story that this individual Lubayd took a piece of paper and he wrote upon this piece of paper Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. And he said to them that, "Look, this has been the replacement of poetry. These verses of the Holy Quran, the power of the verses of the Holy Quran, the beauty of the verses of the Holy Quran, the rhetoric, the eloquence, our poetry cannot match it. Why should we give you something that is weaker and of less significance than the verses of the Holy Quran?" Again, it is mentioned that the second Khalif became very happy with this and what was mentioned by Lubayd. And second Khalif obviously then gave this individual extra from the Baytul Mal. Inshallah, my dear brothers and sisters, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A few words regarding this great scholar who passed away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him to raise the status of Atla Misbah. He is already elevated. He's already with the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah to increase his rewards and increase his blessings. Whenever he felt a taklif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to perform, he did it. He did not care who else believes or thinks what about his activity. The only thing he cared for is, does Allah want this from me or not? Let me clarify that. Once that was clear, Allah wants this done, it doesn't matter who dislikes him. And one of the areas that he, as this alim, who again is age-wise senior to Ayatollah Khamenei, this great alim that has all these students, he used to constantly and consistently, different ways, bring up the topic of Ayatollah Khamenei, of the leadership, and insist to everyone that's hearing, appreciate this blessing from Allah. Appreciate this blessing from Allah. He is a great blessing from Allah. He's the representative of the 12th Imam. Whatever he says is right. Everyone needs to listen to what he says. This is not some politician. This is not someone who, for whatever other reason, is doing this. And he could have, just like many unfortunately didn't do this. Many of those who were not as knowledgeable, I wanted to say half as knowledgeable, some of them really are not even half as knowledgeable as Ayatollah Misbah. And they have not produced students that are themselves great ulama. Each of the students of Ayatollah Misbah, each of them, a number of them, a good number of them, in the tens, perhaps hundreds, the ones I know in the tens, each of them is an established scholar with an abundance of knowledge and information of Islam. Hardworking ulama. Those other people don't even have half the students that he has. In terms of value, yes, some of them perhaps have larger numbers quantity-wise, although even that is in question. But quality, clearly the students of Ayatollah Misbah, they didn't go, although they weren't against this, but they didn't do what Ayatollah Misbah. One of the takalif he felt is his responsibility, and his teacher Ayatollah Bahjat told him, is that I need to, myself directly and through my, and tell my students and tell everybody, you have got to promote Ayatollah Khamenei. Ayatollah Khamenei is the representative of the 12th Imam. We have to do this. We felt it's a taklif. And he showed, look at that. I mean, who does this? Who does this? At his age, bending down to kiss Ayatollah Khamenei's hand. And then when he doesn't allow, not getting back up, going down to kiss his feet, he believed he wasn't an actor. He was never an actor. I have met him in person multiple occasions. If he thought something is right, he did it. If he didn't think it's right, he didn't do it. He didn't care. He didn't give a damn. It was only when he knew it's right. He didn't praise anyone if he didn't think they're not, if he didn't think they're worthy of praise, he never praised them. He praised Ayatollah Khamenei because he was 110% sure that he is worthy of that praise. The level of praise. He used to have akhlaq classes every week on Wednesday. God gave me the tawfiq to attend for more than a year. I don't know exactly. Regularly, I don't know if it was 2 years, 3 years, regularly, and then on and off, before and after. When he wanted to explain and give examples, the example he gave for a person to understand an irfani thought, an idea of getting close to Allah and see how that feels, he wanted to give the example of how we as people, sometimes a person, their presence can be so enjoyable the presence, feeling the presence, being in the presence of a person is so great that you would go at lengths to try to get in that presence, be with that person. He was trying to explain that, to explain the thought that the Quran tells us, the purpose and the blessing for a man, for mankind, for people, for humanity, a blessing that they can receive that others can't receive is the proximity of the divine. Just being in the presence and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted to explain how this is the purpose of the creation of mankind and how all the difficulties we go through as believers is to get to that. He said, is it worth it? He said, let me give you an example for you to realize that it can be, to start your thought, your mind to think about how this could happen. Let me give you an example of how you feel about the presence of a person. Sometimes you go to a person's house because of their house, because how it looks, because of their garden, because of the food, because of the drinks, because of the snacks, because of the toys, because of whatever's there. Sometimes you go there for various reasons. Sometimes you go to a beat up house, you'd be willing to, because of the person. And then the example he gave is Ayatollah Khamenei. He would go out of his way every time he wanted to give an example because he believed that he must promote. It's his Islamic taklif to do. That's why he did. Different people said different things about this. Different people said, you know, ulama usually don't do a lot of different things. He felt, it's my taklif to Allah. It's not even about Ayatollah Khamenei himself. As a person, he's a representative of the 12th Imam. God wants me to promote him. I have to do that. This is the type of person that he was. A very capable man in terms of bringing serious and fundamental change to the Hawza. He's very serious about it. Very serious about it. The change he brought personally to the way the Hawza functions before and after his work is really not comparable. Honestly, it's not comparable. Others were involved with trying to bring about positive change, making the system more efficient, more comprehensive in terms of the studies that are required for the soldiers, the ideological soldiers of Islam. Others were part of that. They had efforts, they put efforts into that as well. But his work is incomparable. He was the only one that sent a few dozen or a few, I think maybe 30, 40 students to the West to study, come back, teach what the Westerners are teaching after having learned it from the Westerners themselves, to see what they're saying, to analyze what part of it is acceptable, what part of it isn't, what part of it conforms with Islam, what part of it doesn't, instead of taking it from translations and taking like the old stuff that's been out, we'll get the latest thing that's there. What was the purpose? He was the one who did that. Being able to do that, getting the funds, making arrangements, universities, all that stuff, Adla Misbah. Allah bless his soul. He did a lot for the believers, and the believers out here have experienced his blessings. And the United States of America and in Canada, people have seen the blessings and they owe Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi because a few of his students came here for a few years. And the effect, like Lana Biria in Houston, he's Ayatollah Misbah's student. He was Ayatollah Misbah's student. And he was sent to Canada by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. And afterwards he was able, after he was in Canada, he was able to come and he stayed in Houston. Anyone in Houston knows the great blessings of Maulana Biria, may Allah protect him. He's a student of Ayatollah Misbah. on a Tehrani. He was in New York and he traveled. He came here to LA as well. And Maulana Hijazi, who comes here and there in to LA, used to be in DC area where I was, and then in New York, and now on and off in LA. These are students of Atla Misbah, and others. There were a few others that didn't stay as long, didn't speak English as well. Anyhow, these are the people, and then their works, their writings, the writings of Atla Misbah. We all owe this great man. I personally owe him a whole lot, because going to the Hawza, I was affected by his students. Being there, I was affected by him in many ways, and assisted and helped by him and his students. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity of being with this and seeing this great man firsthand.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyum وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge, exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening.